So you got to put everything in this context and understand, wait a minute, that can't be universal because we already see what Paul is doing. Where women are concerned. Then in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11 to 15 says, women should learn quietly and submissively. I do not let women teach men or have authority over them. Now, wait a minute, see, wait a minute. You go back again to Acts chapter 18, you will see Paul, you know, had Priscilla in particular to minister to Apollos, a man, the gospel, and help him to develop and grow in faith. So when you read a statement like that, you have to back up and say, wait a minute, that can't mean just simply what it says. Because we already see an example that contradicts that. Either Paul's crazy or something else is going on here. He says, let them listen quietly, for God made Adam first, and afterward he made Eve. And it was not Adam who was deceived by Satan. The woman was deceived, and sin was the result. But women will be saved through childbearing, assuming they continue to live in faith, love, holiness, and modesty. Now, that text really says a whole lot, which I don't have time to get into completely because my clock already, I think, hit zero or something. Praise the Lord. The background, again, that you have to keep in mind is this. This is all new to the church. When women were not invited before, now they are. It says women should learn quietly and submissively. Well, again, that doesn't change anything because that's the same way men were supposed to learn. Same thing that's going on. Interesting enough, too, without going to the kind of an in-depth Greek study, when it talks about I do not let women teach men or have authority over them, really, when you look at the Greek terms that are used there, it really better references wife and husband, husband and wife, not just universally all men and all women, wife and husband, to keep in mind. The prescription, and that's what it is, it's a prescription that Paul is giving to Timothy, who is the pastor of the church in Ephesus. There's specific things that's going on there, so he's responding to a specific problem, likely because of Paul's concern, if you read the context, of false teachers, and even how he was recognizing how these false teachers were leading a lot of women astray. So perhaps, the reason why he's saying here and stressing, hey, women, you know, make sure they're being quiet. They understand that kind of ground rule because we want to make sure that these false teachers and so forth are not getting voices in the meeting. And watch this, in that women, just like men now, are learning quietly, you know, and in submission, just like men. Wasn't this universal prohibition again that women are not supposed to say anything in the church? How does Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21 fit? I'm glad you asked that. Verse 21 says this, through 26 says, and further, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. So how does this work, you know, in the home? Man, I wish I had more time. We could really, really, you know, hang out here. It says, and further, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. For wives, this means submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For a husband is the head of his wife, as Christ is the head of the church. He is the savior of his body, the church. Now, let's back up. Most individuals reading that from a fallen perspective, watch this patriarchal perspective of what we saw in Genesis chapter 3, verse 16, that the man is supposed to rule over you. When they saw this, they're saying, see, that reinforces our domination. But again, when you begin to research this issue called headship there, it's really a reference of leadership. Yeah, the husband is the leader of his wife. But now watch this. That doesn't mean superior, he's superior or she inferior. When you understand kingdom leadership, we see it best with Jesus, Matthew chapter 20, verse 26 to 28. It says, listen, verse 28 in particular, it says, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. So when Jesus is talking about here, and Paul is addressing here headship in the home between a husband and a wife, he's talking about this husband now bears the responsibility of serving his wife, being the lead servant in the home. Come on now, not just simply laying out edicts, this is the way it's going to be. No, that's not what this is talking about. This is talking about a sense of leadership that is expressed, you know, best in sacrificial service. It's what God has called us unto. Verse 24 goes on and says, as the church submits to Christ, so you wives should submit to your husbands in everything. Someone says, a husband to the wife. For husbands, this means love your wives just as Christ loved the church. He gave up his life for her to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. If I could just be candid, I think the husband's got, you know, the elephant portion that we got to perform of love your wife even as Christ loved the church. What? Really? Yes. So that's what submission looks like for you. You lay yourself down for her. So the submission goes both ways. There's always this equality. If you read the whole passage, starting at verse 21, finish the chapter, you see three particular components when it relates to marriage between husband and wife. One man, one woman. One biologically born man, one biologically born woman. That don't try to transgender themselves, you know. Well, anyway, I'll leave that alone. You know, because you got cases like that where, you know, it's really interesting. I shouldn't do that. Stop. So here's the three things. The first is equality that you see there. Spouses are both distinct and equal in their created purpose for marriage. They, the spouses, find ultimate meaning in and through their relationship with God and each other. That's where you find ultimate meaning, in your relationship with God and each other. You're distinct and equal. The second is unity. In marriage, one is not one without the other two. Hey, listen, I need for every married person to catch this, and I need every single person who's thinking about some marriage to catch this. You're not one without the other two. Wait a minute. What kind of marriage are you talking about? Other two. I'm talking about your spouse and God. You're not one without the other two. Marriage's true identity doesn't surface until husband, wife, and God all agree and harmonize. And I got good news for you. God's not changing his ideas for you. So when we start talking about husband, wife, and God harmonizing, that means the husband and wife have to learn how to submit to what God says. That's now the unity that comes in. Then the last one is unselfishness. See, this means in marriage that the spouses are God-focused. Can you say that with me? God-focused. Meaning you're not self-focused, and watch this, you're not even the other spouse-focused. You're God-focused. This is what my ministry to my spouse comes out of my relationship with God. I'm God-focused. See, watch this. When you're God-focused, when your spouse do something that get on your nerves, it doesn't cause you to snap. Come on this side. Come on. I don't care who you are. Your spouse, at some point, sometime in history, is going to do something to get on your nerves. If I would give my wife the mic right now, she could probably start, you know, preaching for days about the times I done got on her nerves. But because of the fact that she's chosen to love me out of her relationship with God, that even though I may get on her nerves, it doesn't change her love for me. Thank you, honey. I appreciate that. Equality, unity, unselfishness. We conclude right here in Proverbs chapter 31. Because all of this is just about a woman's worth. Proverbs chapter 31, verse 10 says, a capable, intelligent, and virtuous woman, who is he who can find her? She is far more precious than jewels, and her value is far above rubies or pearls. Come on now, when you start talking about a woman's worth, a woman from God. And then verse 30 says this, charm and grace are deceptive, and beauty is vain because it is not lasting. But a woman who reverently and worshipfully fears the Lord, she shall be praised. She shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands. In other words, reward her. And let her own works praise her in the gates of the city. Oh my. Come on now. Let's reward the awesome women and ladies in our lives. Come on, let's praise them that fear God, that worship God. Let us issue to them what they are due, because their value is far above all jewels, all rubies, all gold, all diamonds, far above that. And when we recognize that as a church and as a society, we recognize and we embrace this sense of equality and we promote it. Now, let me say this. That doesn't mean now that because there has been a history, this patriarchal history, and a lot of male domination, that doesn't mean now you try to flip the script and make it female domination. I lost my amens now. You see how fast that went. See, that's the same, and I'm going to deal with this on next week, so I'll just tell you. That's the same where, quote-unquote, racism is concerned. Just because you feel like, you know, someone has done, you know, our people wrong, you know, then we need to, you know, flip the script now. Well, racism is bad whichever direction you put it in. Okay. Our heart is that we want to make sure that we recognize that women, just like men, are made in the image of God. And therefore, there shouldn't be any restrictions, prohibitions, so forth, that's placed upon them within the church or society. I've been guilty of it myself when I began to kind of think about some things. For years, many of you that's been around for a while, you would never see a woman minister doing certain things. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I'll give you an example. Like the offering. For whatever reason, that was kind of one of them sacred cows for me that, you know, hey, you know, let's have, you know, one of the men do it. Let's have one of the men do it. And Lord really began to deal with me about that last year, I think it was. It's just like, You're following a tradition. You're not following revelations, huh? Now, for us, when you compare us to many other churches, we're very progressive when it comes to women in leadership and, you know, doing things. But there were certain areas like So it's not until last year, 2021, maybe 2020, for the very first time, I said, you know what, you know, honey, you conduct the offering. So now you've seen, you know, my wife, you know, do the offering. Let's see, you know, Lone, you know, you do the offering. I mean, what's this? Whatever God has anointed a man to do, a woman can be anointed to do too. Because of her worth and the image of God that's within us both. Father, help us to settle down in your truth. We understand that in different traditions that have been promoted in the church or crept into the church, that has caused us not to relate to all people with a sense of equality, and specifically women. Help us, Daddy, to remove that. Help us to embrace what you have said. And Father, recognizing that just like men, they too have been anointed by God. The Spirit of God has been poured out upon them. And therefore, they are fully equipped and ordained by you to do every single task that a man can do. So we love you, sir. We repent, Father, from past error. And Daddy, we stay open unto you that we may just continue to grow and see better what you've called us unto in this relationship with you. We give you all honor, glory, and praise for that. In Jesus' name. If you agree, would you say amen, please? Amen. Praise God. Please keep your heads bowed just for a moment. Heads bowed, eyes closed in prayer. Listen, if you're with us on today, and maybe you are outside of that relationship with Christ, listen, this is the place in Jesus where now you get racial harmony. Come on, you get now a social, you know, symmetry. You get gender equality. That's where it is cultivated, in that relationship. See, in order for things to change on the outside, it has to change first on the inside. And that's with you as an individual. So if you've never stepped into this relationship, you've never connected, come on, let me pray for you. Let me pray with you today. Be my honor and privilege to be able to introduce you to the best relationship you will ever have in your life. And that's with a good, good Father. So if that's you, you want me to pray for you and with you, then here's what I want to do. I want to ask you to follow me in a prayer on this morning. And I'm going to ask everyone to join us. As a matter of fact, everyone in the house, lift up two hands right there at home, wherever you may be. Come on, lift up two hands. Say this out loud with me. Dear Father God, thank you again for your great love. Thank you for giving to me Jesus, who lived for me, who died for me, and who rose for me. Today, Jesus, I embrace you as my master, my savior, my king, my Lord, my everything. Thank you for making me in the image of God. I am now saved. Amen. Come on, somebody should rejoice right there. Come on, glory and honor to your wonderful holy name. Come on, say it with me. Say, I'm now saved. Salvation comes through one name and one name alone. One relationship alone, and that is with Jesus. So if you prayed that out of the sincerity of your heart for the very first time, I congratulate you. I applaud you, whether you're here present or you're online. Here's what I'd love for you to do. For those of you online, please, you'll see coming up on the screen a number where you can text the word decided to, and we will send to you a copy or a link to a devotional that will help you to just be strengthened in the decision that you made here today. Or you can just type the word decided into the chat. We'll be able to receive it, you know, that way as well, and we'll send you the copy of the book. Or if you're present and you prayed that prayer with us and you'd like to get one of those booklets, it's called Fresh Start. As you're exiting, just ask one of our leaders. They'll be glad to put one into your hands as well. God loves you, and I'm telling you, there's some good things coming your way. I said, God loves you, and there's some good things coming your way. Miraculous interventions in Jesus' name. But watch this. In order for the miracles to flow, we got to make sure we are lining up with God. Time out just simply for just going through tradition, because that's what we always did. Stay open to what the Spirit of God is saying, and let's keep growing with God. Would you stand up on your feet with me, please? I've gone a little bit over time. I don't know if that clock started, stopped, restarted. I don't know. All I know is we're wrapping. Daddy, may your blessing rest upon all of us here today, especially the mothers, these God-fearing mothers that are present, and those that are online as well. Father, give them the continued strength, wisdom, guidance, and anointing, Father, to be diligent in their relationship with you and to raise their children, whether those children are young or old, still in the nurture and admonition of you. We love you, and we give you praise for them. In Jesus' name, amen. Happy Mother's Day, and have an awesome week. We'll see you next week. One people.